Revelation chapter 5, beginning with the first verse. Revelation 5:1. I never understood. I used to read years ago how Billy Sunday, they said when Billy Sunday was in a service, said the whole time the devotional service was going on, said Billy Sunday was back prancing across the platform. Prancing, just prancing. Couldn't wait. Couldn't wait to get up and preach. And folks asked him why, and he said he felt like it was going to hurt him if he didn't get it out. And I understand that better this morning than ever before. But my, some wonderful truths. I knew there was no way I could preach it all in one service. As God is our helper, we'll start this morning. Try to wind up with it tonight. I'm telling you, folks, you want to be here tonight. Amen? Want to be here tonight. And it'd do you some good to go home and get a nap this afternoon because some of you sure need it. Amen. That's free this morning. Revelation chapter 5. Listen, hey, you know, God don't like dead churches. No, He condemns it. In Revelation 3, He condemned the dead church. And He's saying, I see a lot of churches, you know, that they don't understand why they don't grow. I understand why they don't grow. They're dead. That's right. The Bible says the Lord inhabits the praise of His people. God didn't say you had to praise Him when you felt like it or praise Him when somebody around you praised Him. You just praise Him because it's the right thing to do. And we have to praise the Lord in all things. That's a different sermon, though. Let's look. Beginning with the first verse, the fifth chapter of Revelation. And I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. But listen now. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Well, I've touched several times over the years preaching about the Lion of the tribe of Judah and talking about the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But you know, back a few weeks ago now, a thought crossed my mind. If we call Him the Lion of the tribe of Judah, how can we really know what that means if we don't know anything about lions? And we go to the zoo, we look in the cage, we think we understand all there is to know about a lion. But you know, I was absolutely amazed. And the more that I studied, and you know, I have to thank a lot of people in this church. There's a lot of folks behind this church that all I got to do is just tell them, I need something. I need this on something. And they'll go to work and they'll bring me research papers and copies out of books and books and everything they've got. And then that gives me the ample ammunition to start studying a little bit about that subject. So this morning we're going to start on a message on the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And think along with us on the lines of some of the things that I discovered. I don't know about you, but it just about blessed me out of my socks when I read some of it. I could not have been. Isn't it wonderful that you could go to the world and the world doesn't even know the knowledge that God has given the world? They're unconverted. They don't even know what they're pinning down when they pin it down. But all they're doing is ascribing all the glories of everything that God has made and giving the glory back to God. And you know, the earth, the heavens, they all declare the glory of the Lord, don't they? Well, let's think about the lion. First of all, let's think along this line, along the line of the prestige of the lion. I'd say that anybody, when people think of lions, they automatically think of royalty. It has been a symbol of royalty and strength and power through the ages. You know that Ramses II, which was one of the great pharaohs, and they've now uncovered through one of the pyramids, you know, they found several manuscripts and hieroglyphics, and they come to find out that Ramses II, the reason that he was the most feared of all the pharaohs was he had two lions that he kept for pets. And when he was asked why he kept those lions for pets, Ramses said that foreign rulers, when they look on me, they just see a man. But when they look on me with two lions beside of me, when they see the lions, they say any man that can tame the lions surely is a man of great leadership. And he said, they don't fear me, they fear my lions. So he kept them with him as a symbol of strength and power. One of the Roman emperors used to ride in a chariot that was pulled by 31 albino lions. Think about that. They asked why. Because they knew that any man that could tame the lion was a man that had great strength and great power. So it's always been a symbol of honor and an honor and power and majesty. You know, all of the symbols in England, you'll see the lion. So often you'll drive by mansions and outside the gates, what do you see? You see lions up there. They're a picture of strength and confidence. A lion walks with confidence in everything that it does because it is the king of the what? The king of the beast. So the lion has no fear of anything around it, and it has a confidence about it. When you watch that lion walk through a savanna or through a desert, you can always tell that that lion walks with great grace and great pride because it knows the power that God has given to it. No wonder Jesus, when He was in this world, everything He did with confidence. He said, all power is given unto me both in heaven and in earth. That's why that we can have this assurance that we are part of a royal family because our leader is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So there's majesty ascribed to our family. Do you know something this morning? You're not just a regular person if you're saved. You're a part of royalty. You're a part of the King's family. And thank God the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is the one that rules over us as well. And we ascribe our allegiance to Him, and He is Lord of all. And thank God for His power and majesty. Amen. But not only the prestige of the lion, but think along this line with me. Think of the power of the lion. Now, when I got to studying on this, I was amazed at some of the things I realized. You know, it is the most powerful of all the predators in the world. It is the king of the animal kingdom. Why? Why is so much power given to it? Well, there's several reasons why, and I think there's several areas we can look and see the power of the lion. First of all, you see the power of the lion in its roar. Let's think about a lion roaring for a minute. Why does a lion roar? I've heard all kinds of things, and I have to be honest, I've even said some things that until I studied, I didn't realize some of it was just repeat of other things that I heard that wasn't right. Let me tell you why a lion roars. First of all, a lion roars to mark its territory. That's why a lion roars. It marks its territory. Now, a lion seldom roars of the daytime. It usually roars of the dusk and of the dawn. That's when it roars. And when a lion is ruled by a dominant male, and the only way that it can take over a family is it must defeat the dominant male. So if the family is about to fall, the male that is prowling, marking the territory, will roar and encourage the others in the family to roar in a chorus with it to show strength to mark the territory. You haven't got this yet, have you? You know the Bible says that the devil is a roaring lion going forth seeking whom he may devour. But there's another lion, and he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And every morning he roars. And every night he roars. What's he doing? He's marking his territory. He's saying, listen, Satan, you can roar all you want to, but this family is my family. I've marked my territory out. It's my territory. And thank God what a roar he has. And every now and then he encourages us as well to roar together with him. That's why on Sunday mornings you need to just for no good reason at all every now and then get up on your feet and shout the glories of God, because we're roaring out to the devil. The Lord is King of Kings. He is our ruler. Thank God we're in allegiance to Him. He's the one that has all power. And we ought to let the devil know whose side we're on. Now the devil's roaring, trying to make you think the territory's his, but it's not his. It's the Lord's. He's not the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Thank God he is about to be overthrown, and he's trying to mark his territory. Another reason that they roar, I like this. Do you know what I read the other day? A lion roars at such low decibels that lions have been known to roar so loudly that you could feel the earth shake beneath you. And they'll roar until a cloud of dust begins to arise. Oh, glory to God. Thank God forever. One day, He's going to roar with such a roar that the earth will begin to shake. And you talk about a cloud of dust, brother, when the graves burst open and the dead in Christ rise and the Lion of the tribe of Judah comes back to claim His territory. Thank God. I'm letting them follow Him. He'll raise a cloud of dust. Something else that amazed me. Not only the roaring, but the scratching. You know another way they mark their territory? They not only roar, but they also scratch. Their claws are protractable. And when they want to, when they stretch out their claws, the claws automatically pop out and they use the claws to mark their territory. There's two things they scratch to mark their territory. First of all, they mark trees. They'll take their claw and they'll mark a tree. Hallelujah. The Lion of the tribe of Judah marked a tree on Calvary's brow and said, this is my territory. I'm leaving my mark. I get a little bit troubled and a little bit disturbed and concerned when I hear of these churches that don't want anything to do with the cross. One of the fastest growing churches in this country claims that they're growing so fast because number one, they took the gospel out of the church, and number two, they took every sign and symbol of the cross there was out of the church on national television. The man said, it's appalling to people to see the cross, but I've got news for you. Thank God, on the old rugged cross, Jesus made His claim and staked out His territory, and He marked His territory on a tree. You know what else they mark? Outcrops of rocks. Where a rock grows out, they'll take their claw and beat it against it until it makes markings on the rock. Thank God, Jesus not only marked the tree, but they took Him into a cave, a place that they call a tomb, and they hewed out the tomb, and there they laid Him on a stone. But thank God, He made His mark on that stone. In a few days, we'll be back in the Holy Land again, and we'll enter inside the tomb where they laid the body of Jesus, wherein never a man had laid. And thank God, He made His mark on the stone. And He said, because I live, you shall live also. Jesus not only marked the territory of this world, but He also marked the way for us to make it through the grave. Amen. He knows the way. The valley of the shadow of death is His. Not only do you see the power of the lion in roaring and scratching, but in rubbing. The lion has a rub. That's right. The lion, how many of y'all have cats at your house? Yeah. God bless you. Bless the ones that's honest and the ones that just lied, the Lord will forgive you for it. We don't have cats at our house. And I'm not going into that. Donna and Joe has got a cat they got from the Antichrist. I'm sure of that. Sure as I can be. Because it almost scared the angel out of me last night. Amen? I've never had a great love for cats, but I love lions now. When you walk in your house, what does your cat do? Rubs all around you. You know why a cat rubs around you like that? A lion does a little different. Do you know that when a lion falls in love with anything or any living being, it rubs the being to show its affection. But the rub of the lion sure isn't like the rub of your cat. In fact, when the lion sees you and loves you, he runs with a force and lunges at you and bumps you. And I read where one lady that raises lions for a pet, she had a lion that rubbed her so hard that literally he bumped her. He bumped her so hard that it broke two ribs. That's how much force is in the love of the lion. Now there's a reason why they do that though. Inside the corners of their mouth are scent glands. And saliva comes over their scent glands. And that scent builds up inside, is deposited inside those glands. When they hit you hard, it forces the air out of their lungs and it throws the scent of the lion onto whoever they love. Now, there's two reasons that they do that. Number one is, no enemy, the lion knows, no enemy will bother whoever they love if they have the scent of the lion on them. The second reason they do it is because they're saying, I own you. This is a bonding. You're mine now. So what they're saying to all the other predators, you better not mess with that one. This one's mine. When you smell the lion on this one, you better stay away because that one has the sin of the lion on him. Oh, thank God for the bonding we had. No wonder that Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Do you know what he was saying? He said, one day on the Damascus Trail, I had a rubbing experience with the Lord. Thank God we had a head-on collision. And the Lord put His mark on that. And He put His bond on that. And now when the enemy comes along, let the devil try, but thank God we're one of God's children. And He must not mess with us. Because you'll have to answer to Him. Isn't that good? Some of you haven't learned that lesson yet. You go around picking on God's youngins, and God bless your sloppy heart. You're going to have to meet the lion one day over that. That's right. Because He owns us. He bought us. Bless the Lord. He loves us. And He says, I love you so much that I'm putting a little bit of what's in me on you. Thank God for the bounding that we have through the Lord. And He owns us. He bought us. Not only is there the roaring and the rubbing and the scratching, but think about the honey. Boy, when I read this, it blessed my heart. Do you know how a lion hunts their prey? When they hunt their prey, it said that they always hunt their prey by biting the head and neck. No wonder Genesis 3:15, the Lord told the serpent. He said, you think you've won out. But listen, I'll put enmity between you and the seed of woman, and she'll bruise your head. Thank God for the lion of the tribe of Judah that'll bite the head of the devil off. Amen? Lord, get you by the head, you're in trouble, folks. You know that? And if you'll know something too, people that come to the Lord and get away from God and start straying from God, the first thing that messes up with them is their thinking. Don't think right. Say crazy things and do crazy things. Somebody shout amen now. He attacks your mind. You know, your mind is the greatest thing that the devil would love to overcome. That's why the Bible teaches us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of godliness, thought it not unequal or robbery to God to be born of a woman. What was he saying? He was saying he took on flesh. Why? To become the lion of the tribe of Judah, so that in the flesh he could condemn the flesh. Thank God he could get the devil by the head and by the neck and win the victory for us. Be careful with your mind. Because the same thing the Lord does to the devil, He knows his end. That's what He wants to do to every one of us. He'll get you thinking all messed up. He'll get you to thinking, nobody there loves me. Nobody cares for me. I got news for you. Every one of you can spit in my face and say, I can't stand that preacher, but thank God I'm going to go out to my car today, sit down behind the wheel of my automobile and sing, Jesus loves me, this I know. Why? Because I had a head-on collision with the lion. Thank God He put His sin on me. And if you're not careful, you'll get down in the valley so low that God can't use you and can't bless you because your thinking's messed up. Amen. Hold on now. Let's think about his power in fighting. A lion doesn't fight when it kills its prey. There is no fight to kill prey. That's right. There's no competition between the lion and the prey. The lion wins. There is no fight. It doesn't even start. He just wins. That's all there is to it. Read anything you want to. There's no fight involved. But listen to this. There's two reasons why a lion will fight. Let me tell you, this exactly. I went to the World Book Encyclopedia, and this is what it said. Two reasons why the lion will fight. Number one, to win a mate. That's right, you heard me right. Number one, to win a mate. If another lion has control of a family that a dominant lion wants, he fights with that lion. So he'll fight to win a bride. The second reason he'll fight, not only to win a bride, but to defend his family. That's the two reasons that a lion will fight. Y'all aren't getting this morning, are you? Thank God. Do you know why there is a battle that's going on? It's raging. It's a battle in high places. It's a battle of spiritual darkness. But do you know why the Lord, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, wages that battle? To win the bride. To win your heart. To win your affection. And thank God, not only does He do it to win our affection, but there's another reason that He does it. And that is to defend us. When the enemy comes against us, the Lord is our shield and buckler. Thank God the Lord fights our battles for us. God goes before us and He conquers every enemy that comes our way. He not only fights to win the bride, but He fights to defend the family. Sometimes a wanderer comes along. Let me read you a quote out of the World Book. It said, a wandering lion avoids meeting the owners of a territory, for he will be forcefully evicted from his territory. Thank God the old devil comes around every now and then. But the truth of the matter is, he's not too afraid of me and you, but I tell you who he is afraid of. He's afraid of the lion of the tribe of Judah. Do you know why? Because he'll forcefully evict him from the area. He'll say, this is my territory, devil. You can't come into my territory. That's why it's so important that everything we do, whether it's building our life, building our home, building our business, building our church, it should always be built in the Lord's territory. Because what is His, He'll claim the stake to it and He'll defend it. And if the enemy comes around, thank God, He'll evict him out of His territory. That's the difference. Not only that, but let's think of something else. The peace of the lion. Do you know that a lion sleeps from 19 to 21 hours a day? Now, I was intrigued by that. Were they lazy? No. Why did they sleep so much of the time? This is what I found out. Two reasons why they sleep. Number one, one writer said, why shouldn't a lion sleep? What enemy does it have to be afraid of? You understand what I'm saying by that? When do you spend more sleepless nights than any other time in your life? When you're afraid. Things are on you. You're afraid you can't pay the bills. You're afraid of what the doctor's going to say. You're afraid of what's going to happen here and what's going to happen there. That's when you can't sleep well at night. But you know, you take a baby that's just born, that has no realization of the cares or pressures of this world, they sleep like a baby, don't they? Do you know why? They don't have anything to be afraid of. They don't know there's any enemies out there. They don't know there's anything to bother them. They know that there's someone there taking care of them. Well, glory to God. I feel preaching coming on this morning. Let me tell you why the Lion of the tribe of Judah is at peace. He said, I'm at peace because there's nothing to be afraid of. I've conquered it all. You're worried about death? Thank God He conquered death. You're worried about sickness? He made these bodies. He can heal them as well. You're worried about money this morning? Thank God He owns the earth and the fullness thereof, and He'll give us what we need as we need it. The Lord said, I don't have anything to worry about. I am, I shall be forevermore. Thank God. Everything there is, I'm in control of all of it. So he sleeps because he's at peace. Not only does he sleep because he's at peace, but number two, he sleeps 19 to 21 hours a day because he loves to hunt in darkness. That's right. His eyes, I read one article that said his eyes are adapted for low light usage. He can see his way through the dark. You know what that's a picture of? Now listen, church. Too long we have lived under the realm where we're constantly fighting off the devil, fighting off the devil, fighting off the devil. Woe is me. The devil bothers me. The devil bothers me. Don't you know that we're serving the Lion of the tribe of Judah? And any time you read in the Scripture the Lord's attitude towards Satan, you don't see a picture of a suffering Satan fighting off, suffering Savior fighting off an enemy that's coming against him. No, sirree. You'll find the Lord on the attack. God is never on the defensive. He's always on the attack. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now the gates were used for the one that was on the offensive, not for the one that was on the defensive. He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In other words, he was attacking hell. Hell was closing the gates, glory to God, to keep him from getting in. He said, I'm not on the inside trying to keep the devil and keep all of the influence of hell out. He said, I'm going into where hell is. You know what he said? He said that it is true that we wage against principalities and rulers of darkness of this world. But the Bible says he hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Where there is darkness, the light of the glorious gospel of the Lion of the tribe of Judah breaks the darkness and brings men and women out of the darkness and sets them in the glorious light. I tell you, he's not afraid of the dark. You say, now preacher, we're just human beings. That's right. That's why when I go in the dark, I take the lion with me. That's the difference. The problem with a lot of folks are they stand on the edge of darkness and they're afraid to go into the devil's territory because they're afraid of what the backlash may be. But they're looking at it in their own power instead of the power of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. They're like the little boy standing one evening and his mom said, honey, I left the broom out on the back porch. Would you get the broom for mommy? It's pitch dark. And he was terrified of the dark. The little boy said, mommy, I can't. I'm afraid of the dark. I can't go out there. It's dark. She set him down and said, now listen, honey. Said, Jesus is out there. Said, Jesus is not afraid of the dark. Said, you just remember, when you get out there in the dark, Jesus is already there. The little boy started to go again. He couldn't make it. He came back in, sat down about in tears. Said, I can't, Mom. I'm afraid of the dark. She said, now listen, you believe what your Sunday school teacher teaches you? You believe that Jesus is not afraid of the dark? Yes, Mom, I believe all that. Well, listen, Jesus is with you. You just tell yourself all the way, Jesus is already there. I'm not afraid of the dark. Jesus is already there. So he went through the living room saying, I'm not afraid of the dark. Jesus is already there. I'm not afraid of the dark. Jesus is already there. And he opened up the door, the light of the kitchen on the inside and the pitch darkness on the outside. He took one step out and he stopped. And he thought and he said, Jesus, my mommy says you're there. If you're there, would you hand me the broom on the other side of the porch? That's the way we are. If you're there, it's not a question of if he's there. He's there, my friend. Thank God. Someone said, why didn't the Lord, when he brought out the three Hebrew children out of the fiery furnace, why didn't he bring out, why don't you ever preacher, that Jesus came out with them? You preach about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego coming out. Why don't you ever preach that the Lord came out too? I tell you why, because he didn't come out. Thank God. You know why he didn't come out? Because when we get cast in, he's already there before we ever get there. Don't you know there's not a thing that's going to face you this week that the Lion of the tribe of Judah won't be there before you ever get there to take care of your problems and your woes and to see you through. The Lord's there before we ever get there. He's not afraid. Now we might be afraid, but he's not afraid. Someone said, well, what do you do, preacher, if you get in the dark and you don't know which way to turn? You just get the lion a little closer to you. And if the lion's beside of you, what do you have to be afraid of? Now, I will say this. If you go out in the dark by yourself, go ahead and be afraid. You've got a right to be afraid. The devil will tear you up. I think it's time we step into a realm in our Christian experience where we've got to understand this nation is controlled by darkness. God's not in control of it anymore. He doesn't have control in the average home. That's why he doesn't have control in the government or in the schools or on the jobs. He doesn't have control in the home. If you don't have the lion in your home this morning, you're in serious trouble. I mean that. And it's time that some of us begin to step into a realm where we understand, Lord, it may be scary, but someone's going to have to go into darkness and start claiming some of these people. Take the lion of the tribe of Judah with them, because if we don't, we're not going to see our family saved. And we're not going to see our nation turned around. It's just going to get more and more dark. More darkness. And more darkness. Now, folks, if God helps me tonight, I'm telling you. If God helps me tonight, in all my preaching, I ain't never, and I know ain't a proper word, but I'm telling you, I ain't never seen nothing like it. Not in all my years of study. Now, if you don't want a blessing, stay home tonight. I like what someone said a few nights ago, that they were feeling bad, and they thought they'd stay home. So they were sitting there and said an advertisement come on and said, during revival last week, and said, touched by an angel. So they sat there and thought about it for a little while and said, why should I stay here and watch touched by an angel when I go to church and be touched by God?